Arden, before we get to Chris talking to Jamie Campbell yesterday, take me back to Friday from your perspective. The news comes down. Chris Colabello is suspended for 80 games. He tested positive for a PED. What were you thinking? What did you make of this story when it first broke?
Wow, you know, it was kind of a shell-shocking day, I guess. You know, we were all just kind of blindsided by it. I don't, you know, when we kind of got to the ballpark and we, you know, we heard there was a team meeting and then we saw that Chris Colabello's name wasn't on the lineup card. I think some people kind of, you know, might have thought, well, you know, is he hurt? You know, he's been really scuffling at the plate. Has the team gone so far as to demote him, you know, to AAA, maybe to try to get his back going? Nobody suspected that, you know, what it was that he'd been suspended 80 games for testing positive for, you know, traces of a PED. So, you know, it really caught everybody off guard.
When you first hear about a positive test, are you one that quickly goes to, well, he must be guilty? Or are you waiting? I mean, this is a little bit of a different situation because he'd already worked through the appeal process, right?
Yes. Well, you know, I generally, if you've tested positive for something, I mean, that means it was in your system, you know, and I don't think that you can deny that that the Turnabol, which is the product name of this drug, was in Chris Colabello's system. So, you know, when you test positive for something, you did it. You know, the question then becomes, did you do it knowingly? You know, did this get into your system in some other way? You know, is there a history of this? But, you know, once you've tested positive for something, I mean, the testing is fairly reliable. So, you know, I'm the kind of guy who, when you test positive for something, I'm pretty sure you did it.
Tell me a little bit about what you heard from Dr. Stuart Phillips from McMaster, the Department of Kinesiology, because you were in your article, you quoted him quite a bit about what this drug is and where it comes from. It's a little bit of an anomaly, isn't it? Because it's not manufactured anymore, and it was one that was used a long time ago.
Yes. I mean, this drug in particular, and, you know, Chris Colabello even says himself, this is the stupidest drug that you could take. You know, it's really ancient. This is something that was basically created in the 60s, used throughout the 70s and 80s in East Germany. You know, it turned a lot of, weightlifters into, you know, these kind of superhumans. It's really an old school drug, and it's kind of strange to see it popping up now. We've had three positive tests for it in the MLB since September, and it's kind of come out of nowhere, this drug's resurgence. So, you know, it's a weird one for a Major League Baseball player to take, just because while the drug is out of your system within about 5 to 6 days of you stopping taking it, the metabolites, and which are the traces of it, which is what was found in Chris Colabello, which is kind of, you know, kind of like its signature, I guess, or like a receipt that it was there in your liver, that sticks around for anywhere from 2 to 8 weeks. And, you know, you really can't predict how quickly your body's going to metabolize those metabolites out of your system. So that's why it's kind of strange for an MLB ball player to do it, because you just can't be sure of when it's going to be out of your system. And you know, during the off season, you don't know when, you know, the testing authority is going to knock on your door and say, pee in this cup. So, you know, it really is quite a risk to take this drug, and it's quite a brazen thing to do for an MLB player.
Doctor, when you hear Dr. Phillips talk about it, you know, he kind of left the door open that I suppose he could accidentally do it, but that's kind of like winning the lotto, right? Like, there's not a – you just don't accidentally find this somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. The one kind of strain of deniability is that it's a drug that's ingested orally. It's not a drug that's ingested. It's a drug that you can take in tablet form. So it is, you know, within the realm of possibility that, you know, this could have found its way into something that you consumed, something that you ingested. But, I mean, the chances of that happening are so, so, so unlikely, you know, when you consider this isn't even a drug that is produced legitimately anymore. No pharmaceutical company on the planet produces this drug legitimately. You have to get it from underground sources on the black market. And, you know, I don't know how easy or hard that is. I don't know if there's, you know, on the internet, if they'll tell you exactly how to create this drug in your bathtub. But, you know, if you're only taking certified products and legitimate products from legitimate sources, there's no chance that this could have been cross-contaminated into those products. You have to be taking this actual illegal drug for it to be found in your urine.
In conversation with Sportsnet's Arden Zwelling, we're talking about Chris Colabello. The interview that was shown yesterday, you chronicled it in your article. First of all, I'll tell you, I watched it. I think he's guilty. I think it's got into his system, but he made a compelling case. Like, I'd love to believe him. I really would. What did you make of what you heard from Chris Colabello yesterday?
Well, I think that's the right way to put it, is that everyone would love to believe him, you know, and you hope that he's telling the truth. And I think that what's the important distinction to make here is that what's being debated isn't whether or not this drug was inside of, was in Chris Colabello's system. It undeniably was. There were metabolites of it being there. Those metabolites can generate on themselves, by themselves. I mean, there's no other way these metabolites could have been generated other than through having this drug in his system. So it was clearly there. What's, at issue is whether he knowingly ingested this drug or didn't. And, his case is that I didn't knowingly take this drug. And he says repeatedly, I don't know how this drug got in me. I've been trying to do everything I can to figure it out. I've had medications that my mother is taking tested. I had medications that my dog was taking tested. I've had the water at my home tested. On and on and on, about trying to figure out, where this how this drug could have gone into his system. And, that's kind of the, if he is telling the truth, that's the heartbreaking thing, is that if he doesn't know how it happened, I mean, that's incredibly sad. But, it's a professional athlete, who had a performance-enhancing drug found in his system. I can't blame anybody for being cynical and saying he's probably lying. I can't blame anybody for saying that. Yeah. I think Chris Colabello is just appealing to the masses, so to speak, to say, look, I don't know how this happened. I understand that it was in my system and it was found in my urine. He's accepted the penalty. He's serving his suspension. But he's just trying to say, I don't know how this happens.
Arden, away from the content of his message, are you familiar with how this came about? I mean, is this something Chris asked for? Because if he did, and he's found to have actually knowingly broke it or broke the rules or whatever you want to say, he comes off looking even worse. Like, it's a very fascinating conversation to have with a player so quickly after coming out with the suspension.
Well, I'm sure, his agent and, probably even his personal cell phone has been inundated with interview requests since this happened. And, he chose to do it with Jamie Campbell of Sportsnet. And I thought Jamie did a fine job of, asking the questions that needed to be asked. And you're right. If it does come out later that Chris Colabello knowingly took this drug, that interview is going to look really, really bad on him. It's going to look, awful, frankly, just because it's going to be filled with lies. So everyone has to kind of make their own personal judgment as to whether you believe him or not. Like I said, the drug was in him. It was there, and he tested positive for it. Therefore, he should be suspended, and he should serve that suspension. It's just whether you believe him that, he unknowingly took it.
All right, so the interview happens. We've written about it. We've talked about it. From Chris Colabello's standpoint, what happens next? Because his appeals have gone through. He's now suspended. He can't come back until the 80 games is up. But he talked in the interview about trying to get to the bottom of it. What is next as far as you see it, Arden?
I'm sure he's going to keep trying to solve this mystery, so to speak, if you do believe what he's saying. And he does seem like he has gone to great lengths to try to figure out how this could have gotten inside his system. I mean, the way that Major League Baseball's drug policy is different from, say, that of, the IOC, is the Olympic Committee, they punish you for having the drug in your system. They don't care how it got in there. They just punish you for it. If it's in there, it doesn't matter how it happened. Major League Baseball, on the other hand, they say, look, if you can prove to us that you were cross-contaminated or this drug got into your system through, some nefarious fashion, we can reduce your suspension. We'll take that into account. And that's, the players have a strong union that has fought for that right. So, Chris Colabello has said he's not going to rest. He's going to continue searching for that, for whatever it is that got this into his system that can clear his name. And, he's got 80 games to do it. But if he can't find that, he's going to sit out for 80 games, and then he's going to have to, he can start a rehab assignment and with a Blue Jays minor league affiliate around 70 games into his suspension. And from there, it's up to the Toronto Blue Jays where and if they want him to play.
So, Arden, and I'm pretty sure you've already gone down this path, but the thing that I've looked at from the outside and wondered about is something that you mentioned before, that there have been three positives for this drug since September and two within the same month. You go back to a reliever in Philadelphia. And have we been able to determine one way or the other if there's any connection? Is there anything that might tie these guys together? Certainly if they'd shared a trainer, we'd know that by now, but is there any connection?
I haven't been able to find one, other than it seems that all three of them protest their innocence. But, you know, a lot of professional athletes who doped have protested their innocence. So, you know, that didn't really tell you a lot.
Yeah.
There's another guy, a UFC fighter by the name of Frank Mir, who tested positive for this, I believe, earlier this month. And, you know, he's a guy who's 36 years old and had passed drug tests before, just like Chris Colabello said he had. You know, it's interesting that this drug has popped up in four cases in professional sports. This ancient drug that, you know, has been around for half a century, all of a sudden players are taking it. And, you know, you can read that in one of two ways. You can read that in a way that there's something wrong with the testing that's creating these false positives, or you can read that in the sense of there's a really good batch of this drug going around. You know, you can kind of look at that from both ways. It really, you know, it's like I said earlier, it really is dependent on how you as a person feel about this, you know, how, you know, it, what your opinion is of the people that, you know, are proclaiming their innocence from testing positive for these drugs. Everyone kind of has to, you know, create their own opinion on it.
My last one for you, and it's more of a baseball question than a Jays question. Is this, you know, is this a new concern? Is this popping up again? I mean, clearly this is why you test. This is why you have an agreement with your PA. This is why you test. Are we looking at another kind of surge in terms of PED use in baseball?
You know, we'll see, right? We'll see if there's more positive tests for this stuff. I mean, if you're concerned about performance enhancing drugs in baseball, these three tests in September should tell you that the system is working. It's catching people who have the substances in their system. You know, I haven't looked too far into, you know, that, you know, what, you know, how things are going with the MLB and that in those regards. I think they learned a lot from the Ryan Braun scenario, and you know, Ryan Braun, you know, that carried on for a very long time with him, you know, having issues with how the sample was handled and this and that, and you know, he was suspended and he wasn't suspended and then he was suspended again, and it was a whole issue. I think the MLB learned a lot from that, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they had kind of tightened their ship a little bit after that incident.